Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Today is Sexagesima, which is 60 days, within 60 days of Easter. It's a time of pre-Lent where we're kind of focusing our attention on what's to come with Lent itself. And in today's lessons, primarily the gospel lesson, the parable of the sower, where we hear about the different types of soil and how they are receptive to God's word. And that's really our focus, is focusing our attention then on God's word and what it does. So we begin with our opening hymn, 589. Speak, O Lord, your servant listens. Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I am a poor, miserable sinner. Confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you with your most mercy, and for the sake of the holy innocence and bitter sufferings and death, of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with our introit. Awake, why are you sleeping, O Lord? Rouse yourself, do not reject us forever. For our soul is bound down to the dust, rise up, come to our help. O God, we have heard with our ears, our fathers have told us, what deeds you performed in their days, in the days of old. With your own hand, O God, the nations, let them you granted. You afflicted the peoples, but then you set free. But you have saved us from our foes, and have put to shame those who hate us. In God we have boasted continually, and we will give thanks to your name forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Awake, why are you sleeping, O Lord? Rouse yourself, do not reject us forever. For our soul is bowed down to the dust. Rise up, come to our help. The Kyrie.
Mercy upon us, Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
O God, the strength of all who put their trust in you, mercifully grant that by your power we may be defended against all adversity. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for Sexagesima is from Isaiah chapter 55. The Lord spoke through the prophet Isaiah, saying, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy, and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees in the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together our verse of the week. My eyes have seen your salvation. Luke 2:30. Our epistle is from Hebrews chapter 4. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand to sing the tract. O God, you have rejected us, broken our defenses. You have been angry, O restore us.
You have made the land to quake, you have torn it open. Repair its breaches, for it totters.
That your beloved ones may be delivered, give salvation by your right hand and answer us. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
When a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to Jesus, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded a hundredfold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. This is the gospel of the Lord. We now confess that word, that seed of the gospel, using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for our sermon hymn 586, Preach You the Word. Spoke through the prophet Isaiah, "For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." Who can understand this scripture? Who knows what it means? It's English words, kind of makes sense, but what is it? Jesus, who came down from heaven, spoke a similar parable. When he was my age, Jesus told the parable of the sower to the crowds, but nobody understood him. Not the crowds, not the disciples, at least not at first. No, not a word. Nobody gets it. Both Isaiah and St. Paul declare the same. Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? They hear but never understand. They see but never perceive. God has given them a spirit of stupor. Romans 11. No one understands Christ's word. That is, until Christ commands our ears to hear and interprets that word for us. The Acts of the Apostles record an account of this happening in real time. There in the book of Acts, in the early days of the church, Philip the deacon was carried along by the Spirit to Gaza, to the desert, to an Ethiopian eunuch who was returning from Jerusalem. He was part of the queen's court, who was in charge of her treasury. This man, as wealthy as he was sitting in his chariot, reading from the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked him, "Sir, do you understand what you are reading? Do you understand?" The eunuch said, How can I, unless someone guides me?" Then he invited Philip to sit with him, and they read the scroll. After reading, Philip opened his mouth and beginning with that particular scripture, he evangelized the Ethiopian eunuch concerning Jesus. And instantly, the Ethiopian sees water there on the side of the road on this desert highway and exclaims, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to be stopped, and they both went down into that water, Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him in the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 8. See, my friends, this is how God works. This is how Christians are made. In this and in no other way. By the Word of God, the Word of Christ, and by the Spirit who proceeds from His mouth. God determines when and where His Word is sown. And God determines how this seed will be received. Many are called. The seed gets thrown everywhere. Many are called, but few are chosen. That passage, "many are called, but few are chosen," this parable of the sower, it gives such comfort for us laboring Christians. We have the clear instruction of our Lord in how to share His word. Simply put, spread it all over the place, right? Speak God's word in all circumstances, in all situations, and He graciously determines the outcome. What a relief. All of it is in God's hands. As Christians, we don't have to fret over who's ready to hear God's word, or are they worthy yet to hear it? We don't have to worry about finding the exact time to speak it. Right? I'm going to go aside here for a second. When I was asking Alyssa's father for her hand in marriage, I was kind of just talking with him, talking, you know, hoping that maybe at one point the conversation will just lead that way and then I'll speak it, right? It never gets there, right? I have to just say it, right? Pardon me, may I have your daughter's hand in marriage, right? It never gets there. And so it is with God's word, right? Like, oh, I got to talk to this person. Maybe some point in time, it'll get to a place where I'll just be able to speak it to them. And it just never gets there, right? Don't worry about it. Just speak it, right? Just speak it at all times and in all situations. It's always ready to be spoken. We just simply sow God's word in season and out of season, whether the moment seems right or not. And by this reckless sowing, God's work is done. Brethren, as we Christians sow the seed of our Master, He does not leave us unaware of how people are going to receive it and why they receive it the way they do. He tells us. Those whose hearts are as hard as Pharaoh's, they reject God's word outright. As soon as the word is sown, the devil comes and takes it away from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Jesus tells us elsewhere that these wordless men will mock and scorn and persecute us. So don't be surprised when it happens. It's going to happen. It's like I'm proposing to my, or asking for the hand in marriage, right? And the father-in-law says no, and worse than no, he slaps me across the face, right? Absolutely not. Shouldn't be surprised if that were to happen when we speak God's word. So when this, it does happen like this, don't let their hardness of heart cause your heart to harden also. Let your love be genuine, even as they laugh and grow in their hatred towards you. Hate what is evil, yes, but hold fast to what is good. Do not be overcome by their evil, but overcome their evil with God's good. Bless and do not curse them, Paul says, Romans chapter 12. And then best of all, right there in the moment, or maybe afterwards, pray for them. Pray that God would open their eyes and their ears and give them true faith in Christ, which endures unto the resurrection and life eternal. So far for the first seed and the soil. Now the second, some people who hear the word of God will respond with instant joy. In a word, they will appear to be on fire for Jesus. Have you ever heard that, on fire for Jesus? It's a very common campus ministry word. They're on fire for Jesus, burning passion for the Lord. But then, when true fires come, they get burned out and they fall away. They have no root. They're like a spark. Bow, and then it's gone. For their sakes, then, we remind them that although our way be joyful, it is nevertheless the way of the cross, the way of Christ crucified, the way which God uses, the way of God's seed, who endured all things, even the fire of the cross, for them. We remind them of this. As we await the same glory which he now has at the right hand of God in heaven, we must for a little while patiently endure our suffering and our cross, which God uses to test and refine our faith, that it may produce steadfastness unto that world without end. Likewise, we pray for those who suffer this burnout, that God would restore them by such a word. Thirdly, there are those who hear God's word, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. To them, Christ gives this admonition to cut the weeds down. He says, "What does it profit a man to gain the whole world, but forfeit his soul?" It's a good question that puts everything into perspective. What is that promotion at work really worth? What does it matter that you've expanded the family farm or brought in such a yield this year that your grandfather could only dream of? Or what's the worth of your trophies, your sports awards, your diplomas? Will your winter houses and expensive technologies profit you on your deathbed? Are not all of these fleeting? Can you take any of it with you? Will any of it survive that fire that is coming upon all of creation? Will anything not be destroyed? God puts these things into perspective, that we might yearn for that one thing needful. So for those who are caught up by the things of this world, we pray that God would blind their eyes and stop their ears so that they might truly see and truly hear that one thing that endures forever. That seed which God has sown into you, that seed which the devil cannot snatch away, that seed which has endured it all and yet remains. That seed which has not been choked out by the cares and riches and pleasures of life. that seed which grants you an honest and good heart in Christ Jesus and bears its fruit with patience, fruit a hundredfold. By this enduring and bountiful seed, as small as a mustard, you know more than the meaning of Isaiah or Christ's parable. By God's grace, you know the meaning of life. You know our God who created you, who redeemed you, who shed his blood and died for you, who scattered his seed throughout the world, throughout all time, so that you can hear him right now and believe. And by believing, have life, eternal life in his name. Rejoice in this seed. Rejoice in our sower. Learn his word. Speak it. Pray it. Throw it every which way. Be like our reckless sower, that this seed may fall upon all men, even those who are still oppressed by the devil and the flesh and the world. Keep on sowing for the sake of the elect. Keep on sowing till kingdom come. On that day, you will see the result of your labors. On that day, you will see the Lord face to face, the Lord of the harvest, who shall say, "Look, my word has gone out from my mouth, and it's not returned to me empty, but has accomplished that which I purposed, and has succeeded in the thing for which I sent it." Amen. Behold, you are God's people, and he is your God. Amen. The announcements of today, a couple written ones here. There's soup dinner today at Alta Fire Station from 11 to 2. 11 to 2, fire station soup dinner. Dartball team will leave tomorrow at 6:15 for their game at Aurelia. The rest of the announcements I do commend to your reading, except for the one other thing that's happening today. From 1:30 to 4 o'clock, the Board of Education is inviting the congregation to the Cherokee Wellness Center, again from 1:30 to 4 o'clock, and the kids can bring their friends. It's going to be a great time. And bring your swimsuits, right? Oh, and one other announcement, a joyous announcement there. You'll see in our prayers of the church, right below the announcements, you'll see a note there for new birth. Raymond Michael Radke, the son of Scott and Kirsten, was born. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God indeed. So we'll include him in our prayers. Congregation, please stand for the prayer of the church. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. In thanksgiving for his tender mercies, and that the Lord of the harvest would implant his holy word, that in good and honest hearts we may keep him, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the church, that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into his harvest, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all Christians, that we would be preserved in the pure teaching of his saving word, whereby faith toward God is strengthened, charity increased in us toward all, and his kingdom extended in all the world. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all Christians, Christian homes, that the word of God would be sown and produce more fruit, and especially for Raymond Radke and his family, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the health and prosperity of all in authority, especially Joseph, our president, Kim, our governor, and all those who serve in our armed forces, that God would endue them with wisdom to serve and maintain righteousness and hinder and punish wickedness, and that we may lead quiet and peaceful lives in all godliness and honesty. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, or any adversity, including those who are suffering for the sake of Christ's name and truth, especially for Jeanine, or Jean, Carrie, Chad, John, Anna, Glenn, Heather, and Frank, for Lorraine, Larry, Janice, and Daryl, that God would comfort them with His Holy Spirit to receive and acknowledge their afflictions as the manifestation of His fatherly will. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank You that through Your Son, Jesus Christ, You have sown Your holy word among us. Prepare our hearts by Your Holy Spirit that we may diligently and reverently hear Your word, keep it in good hearts, and bring forth fruit with patience, and that we may not incline to sin, but subdue it by Your power. And in all persecutions, comfort ourselves with Your grace and continual help. Through the same Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Continue with the singing of the offertory. We should at all times and in all places give thanks to You, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by His glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify Your glorious name, evermore praising You and saying, kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Of the world.
body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul until life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. We stand to sing the Nunc Dimittis.
Lord, now that thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. The light to the thy people Israel. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
Thanks unto the Lord, for he is good,
and his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you have refreshed us with the body and blood of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, that seed of life. Grant that this heavenly food which we have received will strengthen our faith, that we may bear all crosses, sicknesses, and trials with patience and trust until you grant us deliverance, peace, and true health through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
For our closing hymn.
Them.
the voice of heaven.